Please do have a seat. And we're going to just have a little think about those readings from the Bible, particularly the second one from James chapter 4. I'm just going to say a short prayer, asking that God would help us as we do so. Heavenly Father, these are your words written down for us by those who have gone before. And so we pray that you might bring them alive to us this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might see something of you in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning. And we pray it for his name's sake. Amen. My dear Rose, I am so looking forward to our getting married. I can't wait to set up our new home, to look after the garden, to start a family, to have children running around. I'm looking forward to the new phase in my job, to us settling down and growing old together. Signed, your loving Tom. I wonder how many such letters of that ilk were written in the first few months of 1914, or maybe again in 1939, of hopes and dreams, of plans and expectations, which were cut short by the start of war. I don't know if you've heard of a poem called The Dash that is sometimes read at funerals. Let me read the beginning few lines. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke of the following date with tears. He said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time they spent alive on earth. And now only those who loved them know what that little line is worth. It's a lovely little play on words, isn't it? The dash, that little line, but also the dash as in a sprinter, a race through this life. It's a wonderful balance between the brevity and temporary nature of life, and yet the opportunity of the time that we are given here on earth. And the question is, what will we make of the dash? Or to put it in the language that James used in our passage this morning in verse 14, what is your life? What is that dash worth in your life and experience? And this morning, I just want us to consider two views that James sort of lays before us, two alternatives, which I think, in a sense, are the only two alternatives that we have in this life. We will live by one of these or the other. So first of all, the view of our life, that my life is in my hands. We all like to think that we are in control of our own lives, that we can make our plans like that Tom that I referred to at the start of the talk. James puts it this way in verse 13. Today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. I don't think James is speaking against the fact that we can make plans and look to the future. But he's talking about the attitude that lies behind this. Jesus himself told a story, one of his parables, about a farmer, a very rich farmer, who for years had many, many crops, and the crops just kept on coming and coming, and he was just had too much to deal with. And so he said to himself, I will build bigger barns for myself to house all these crops. I'll set myself up for the future and live off the income. And yet, in that story, Jesus spoke of the next day, that very night, when God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. As Jesus said in that other reading, Matthew chapter 6, we don't know what will happen tomorrow. We aren't in control of the events of tomorrow. And yet so often we live as if we are. The plans that we make can so easily be ripped up and come to nothing. James speaks of it this way, doesn't he? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. The mornings have got a little bit colder recently. I'm heading out with our dog in the morning for a walk early on. And that first breath and the little puff of mist that comes out of your mouth that appears so quickly and then disappears just as quickly. Or maybe for you it's getting in the car first thing in the morning and this windscreen is all misted up. Modern cars these days, you press one button in about 30 seconds, it's all gone. All cleared again. And that's the image that James uses for us here, isn't it? A mist. There one moment and gone the very next. And surely on a Sunday such as Remembrance Sunday, we are reminded of how quickly life can come and go, how quickly plans can change. Not just for individuals, but even for millions at a time. Life is so short. And so we come back to that question, what is our life? What will it look like to make the most of the dash? Well, I think we so easily get concerned with all that there is to offer in this life. Those plans in verse 13, making money, carrying on business. Maybe it's a merchant speaking there of his business ventures and all the rest of it. It may be good things. Maybe it's our work and our career. Maybe it's our family life, our homes, our hobbies, our holidays, friends, education. All sorts of good things. But the challenge that James is coming back to is, as we think about such things, do we see it as my life in my hands? That my plans are for me to make? That I am the captain of my own future? Because if so, these things will begin to consume us. They will become everything to us, or as James puts it in verse 16, as it is you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. We make proud boasts about what we're going to achieve. Surely the epitome of this is that program, The Apprentice, where these young hopefuls of becoming Alan Sugar's business partner say the most extraordinary things. I'm the best salesman in the whole of Europe. Know the world. Why stop there? Extraordinary proud boasts are coming out of their mouths as they're just grasping at the prize. A fortune, their future made, their plans coming to fruition. Their business plan being taken up by Lord Sugar in that instance. And so we follow in the footsteps of that man that Jesus spoke of, that farmer, that rich fool, as he has become known. It's all about me and my plans and what I'm going to do. But is that really what life is all about? Is that really what life consists of? Well, we need again to listen to what James has to say to us here. That is not what you ought to say. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. James turns it on its head. It's not my life in my hands, but my life in God's hands. And notice, the plans are still there. I will live and I will do this or that. But the attitude is that it is under the Lord's will. James is warning us against confusion here, effectively. He's warning us in particular against a couple of confusions. One is to confuse time, the here and now, for eternity. Or maybe to put it another way, to confuse this life for eternal life. I think the other more fundamental confusion that James is addressing as well is to confuse ourselves for God. There's a book in the Old Testament that I love called Ecclesiastes. And the writer of that book, probably King Solomon, the great wise King Solomon, uses some of the imagery that James has been using here. He speaks about life being meaningless, or some people say vanity, in vain, or some would even say that that word means mist-like, temporary, transient, as James has been saying. And it's a wonderful book because basically King Solomon, probably towards the end of his life, has wonderful opportunity to look round his sort of whole life. And he was very rich, very powerful, very wise. And he was able to look into all sorts of different areas of life and see if he could find meaning in those areas of life. So he looks at work and rest and play, power and popularity and pleasure, riches, status and fame. And he had the opportunity to try all of those things out. And yet he keeps coming back to this resounding word of meaninglessness, vanity, transience, mist-likeness, if there's such a word. Because he said there is nothing that is not undone by the fact that one day, you and I, even the great King Solomon, will all die. But just occasionally, tucked away in the book of Ecclesiastes, a little glimmers of hope in what sort of seems a little bit like a bleak outlook. One such is Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 there on the screen. God has also set eternity in the human heart. God has also set eternity in the human heart. And I think this is part of the reason why we do want to invest so much in life, why we do give ourselves so much to making plans. Because we know that there are good things to do. We know that life is to be lived, but only as a pointer to the true life that we were really all made for. That life now is to be lived in the light of eternity. To know that this life is first and foremost a preparation for the life to come. Surely as we think of all those soldiers, of all that sacrifice made for us, if this were not true, if this yearning were not set deep within us, then is there not a slight pointlessness and meaninglessness to all the sacrifice? Surely they should have just looked out for themselves and grasped at life now and made their plans for themselves. And yet they knew there was a greater good. There was something to live and to die for. And Ecclesiastes, God's word, would say that that is something set in all of us by God. That there is something bigger and better beyond our 80 years here in this life. And as we think of those sacrifices, as I said earlier, this is what the Lord Jesus came to show us in the most wonderful way. Because he lived a life full of meaning, full of truth, full of wonder and grace, full of power and authority. Yes, it was a short life, only 33 years. Yet at every step of the way, verse 15 of James chapter 4 was his resounding tone. If it is the Lord's will, I will live and do this and that. That is what Jesus did every step of the way. He was obedient to the will of his Father. He was obedient to the Lord's will. And that obedience ultimately took him through all of this life to his death. He talked about it many times during his public ministry. That actually you could only make sense of his life, of all those miracles, of all that teaching, if the climax was his death on the cross for us? Because he knew that he would smash through death to the true life, the life that we were really all made for, that lies beyond. And so, as Jesus does so, he turns to all of us and says, "Come, come to me, put your life in my hands." And as he does so, he reaches out to us, and we see those hands marked with the scars of the nails that pinned him to the cross. That was the experience of the first disciples when they met the risen Lord Jesus. They saw the scars in his hands, in his feet. And they responded to that offer to come to him, to know the full extent of his love, his sacrifice for us. That poem, The Dash, continues in this way: "For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love, and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that still can be rearranged." I don't know whether the author of that poem is a Christian or not, but it contains wonderful prompts for us to think on a morning such as this. What will we do with our life, with our dash? Will we keep it to ourselves, my life in my hands? Or will we turn to the one who is totally trustworthy and entrust our life into his hands? As it said there, are there things you'd like to change? Maybe even this morning you're aware that you've been living by your strength, your power, your control, which, to be quite honest, ultimately is quite exhausting. James says to us, "If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." And surely one outworking of that is, if we know deep down within us that God has set eternity into our hearts, that we were made for something bigger and better, and yet we invest everything that we have in the here and now, then we're not doing the good, the truth that we ought to do. The good, the truth that God has made us for. We're living for the wrong person and for the wrong time frame. We've confused ourselves for God and time for eternity. And Jesus says to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, all you who have tired, trying to make your own plans and them just coming to nothing. Come to me and allow me to map out your future, your eternity, to guarantee it with my blood. Come to him and ask for the forgiveness that only he can bring. Place our lives fully in his hands. And then seek to walk after him as he calls us to, following those words, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." Maybe you'd like to think more about this. There's a table at the back just with some books on. They're all free. Do feel free to help yourself. And a number of them, particularly the ones at the front, are just stories of people who have done this. People who have come to Jesus themselves, who have decided to change the direction of their life and put their life in his hands. This one's called A Passion for Life, Real Life Stories About Faith. There's a number of them. Please do help yourself to them, if that would be helpful for you to continue to think about where your life is and where it's heading. Keep coming back to join us here at St. Andrew's if you're a guest or visitor this morning. Maybe come to one of our Christmas services, which aren't too far away now. But whatever you do, don't shut yourself off to that little gleam that God has set deep within us. God has set eternity into the human heart. Don't crowd it out. Don't try and squeeze it out with the here and now, the things of this life. But remember, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. But we can know what the eternal future will bring. Because Jesus has walked that path for us and reaches out to us with his hands and invites us, welcomes us to be a part of his family. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are such a gracious and loving God. We thank you that you have sent Jesus into this world to show us exactly who you are and what you are like. We thank you that you are the one who is control and rules over all. And we pray that we might come to you, placing our life in your hands and following the Lord Jesus each and every step of the way, day by day. And we pray it in his precious name. Amen.